You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
No guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
From one thing straight into the next, Morena Justine, how are you today?
Morena Rachel, I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's great to have you on the show to answer some questions from the listeners. 5395 is the text number if you want to squeeze any last minute ones in, but these are the ones we've had coming over the last week. The first one we've got here is from someone who says, hey Justine, I use my personal laptop a lot for work as the desktop they provide is super slow. Is there any compensation I can get for that as I have to download a lot of files which makes my laptop slow down a lot?
So this is a really interesting question. Your employer should be providing you with all the tools you need to do the job. You know, it's a job that makes them money, so they need to provide equipment. There is, I know, a movement in some workplaces called, you know, bring your own device, BYOD. But there should be, you know, sufficient compensation if you are using your own, you know, laptop, et cetera, et cetera. In this case, though, they have given you a computer, and I think honestly the thing that you kind of need to do is use that and show its deficiencies, because they need to be providing you with equipment that works. I get that it's easy to use the laptop, but I think you need to present them with, like, either I'm going to use this crappy computer that doesn't work and makes it hard to use my job, or I do need to get some kind of compensation for bringing my own device. So I definitely have that conversation ASAP, because you really shouldn't be using your own devices to do work for them, right?
So this is like a tricky one as well. What would you say if it's a hard conversation to have? I know that we kind of quite often have these hard line answers, but what would you recommend with the, I guess, the negotiation process there?
I would just be really clear about it. You know, it's like, well, I've been trying to use the equipment you've provided, but it is really slow and it is getting in the way of, you know, just me doing the best job I can. That's why I've bought my laptop in. But there needs to be a balance, because I am using my own devices. So I'm just wondering if we can, have a chat about some kind of compensation, or otherwise we can talk about the computer and how it needs to work better. In terms of... if that doesn't go well, look, I always say just be really clear in your communication. Just be clear up front. You're not demanding. You're engaging in good faith, and you're wanting to do your job well. So, if that goes poorly, that does reflect on the boss. And I know that that's easier said than done, but the whole point of being a boss and a manager is that you have to be able to have these conversations, and you have to have them with loads of people. So oftentimes it does go. They'll be more used to it than you might assume. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
But in terms of this one, if that goes nowhere, I would stop using my laptop and then just use the computer, and then note how it slows you down and make sure you keep your boss abreast of that, okay?
Yeah.
Because that's their problem. So you've got to make it their problem. Yeah. You're shifting the problem from you to them.
Well, we've got a similar question, or I imagine there'll be a similar answer, different situation, from our second texter here. What have we got, Stella?
Someone has texted in saying, my job involves a lot of keeping clients happy, which means at meetings they often pay for meals, etc. I get a budget for this, but I'm finding it's not enough and my boss refuses to increase it despite me getting results. I can't really do my job without impressing clients in this way. What can I do to approach that delicately?
Again, I think it's a matter of showing the problem. No employer is ever going to fix something that, you know, isn't a problem yet. Do you understand? Well, oftentimes, like, I'm assuming it sounds like you've already raised this. So you said, the boss refuses to increase it. So I'm thinking you've already raised this and your boss didn't see an issue. I think that's kind of par for the course, because you're filling in the gaps, basically, for your employer. So instead of them having to kind of deal with the fact that they're not providing enough of a budget, you are doing that for them. So honestly, I know, again, this isn't probably the easiest bit of advice to hear, but we need to stop doing that. That's their problem, and that needs to be their problem. And you've shown how you can get better results doing it your way, increasing your budget. Now show them what it's like when you don't do that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you've got to shift that a little bit, because at the end of the day, the responsibility is on them. Yeah, I mean, you definitely need to be claiming. If not, if you, you know, and I, so I know it's again, easier said than done, but if not, you need to talk to your, you need to be claiming that money. That's money, you know, that you're spending at work. And I don't know if you've had the conversation about claiming it back, but I think that also illustrates that you're not being given enough budget, that you're having to pay more. So, yeah, I would have a conversation about even claiming a little bit of it back. I don't know. Have you had that conversation yet? Please do have that conversation if you haven't. You shouldn't be spending your own money wooing clients for your employer.
One of the things that seems to be kind of a thread with all of these questions this morning, Justine, just kind of coincidentally, is how to have that really tricky conversation. Mm. Is that something that your union rep can help you with if you are finding the communication tricky between you and your manager or your employer?
Absolutely. I mean, we, you know, union reps are trained in how to have these conversations, so they absolutely can help you with those conversations. And if you have a delegate, you could possibly even take your delegate in with you, which isn't necessarily, people might think, oh, maybe that's a bit aggressive. Not at all. Like, it's just having someone there to you know, as a support person, which is very, very common. But also, you know, they are trained up in how to have these conversations. Mm. But again, in how I would approach it, it's just, you want to outline the problem, just really, really basically, just outlining the problem and how it impacts your boss. You know, you want to think of it from the perspective, when having these conversations, you want to think of it from the perspective of your employer, and you want to kind of highlight how it's in their interest to fix the issue. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how I would approach these conversations. There's no magic trick to having these conversations. It's just being professional, thinking of it from their perspective, and engaging in good faith. And if they don't engage back in good faith, which does happen, that, you know, you can't control for that. That's people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just have to do your best. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. One last one, which has come from somebody who says that they've recently been given a lot of extra responsibilities, including managing people, which isn't in my job description. Is this grounds for a pay review?
So this is a really good question. So the answer is absolutely yes. But I just want to caveat this, okay? The caveat is that you have the right to refuse higher duties or responsibilities not included in your job description that you're not remunerated for, okay? You have the right to say no to that, and there can be no, like, if your employer tries to, you know, punish you or discipline you for that, they have no right, you know, you're completely protected by the law. But if you do it, right, that gets a bit more tricky.
Right.
So you have the right to say no if you are doing that higher duties and higher responsibility work. They don't need to pay you more, but you can stop doing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Okay. So yes, it is absolutely a grounds for a pay review. And how I would approach it is after that pay review and say, you know, it is kind of urgent because you're not able to continue doing this work outside of the scope of your job description for the same remuneration. So you do need to have that conversation with your boss. And just being very blunt, they clearly need you to do it. And in terms of if that doesn't happen, I know this is difficult, and this is where, again, a union rep can help, or being in a unionized workplace can help, because I just want to say this to kind of, you know, advertise for the unions, but in a lot of unionized contracts where we have collective agreements, we actually have a little clause that allows people to be paid, like, you know, a certain amount dollar extra on their wage if they're taking on higher duties, even if it's for a brief period of time. So we've got people who are paid like $3 extra an hour because they're stepping up to a supervisor role for a few days or whatever, or for a few weeks or whatever it is. So firstly, unionize your workplace, okay? That's the easy bit. No, I'm just joking. But I would definitely ask for that pay review. And if they don't want to pay you more for doing that, you have the right to say no, and you just need to stop doing it, okay?
Hard out. All right. Thank you, Justine. Great answers to some great questions. We appreciate the people who've sent sent those texts in over the last week. As always, 5395, if you would like to share something with Justine or with Celine, who answers our tenancy questions as well, same time every Monday morning. Thanks so much, Justine. Have a great week.
See you. Bye.
Yeah. Take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.